be leather bound. Either way, take your Bibles. Let's hold them up and let's say this together. The words are up on the screen. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living Word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Look at your spouse and say, you're changing. No, never mind. Listen, we're all changing, right? Let's pray today as we get into this new series. Father, we just once again thank you for the opportunity that we have to hear your word. Thank you for speaking to us this morning through your word. I thank you, Lord, for preparing us individually and as a church to grow in you, to grow in our knowledge of you, to grow in grace, and to grow in loving others in every way. Lord, let your church be growing for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are starting a brand new series today entitled Ready, Set, Grow. Now, if you come here regularly to Faith Life Church, you will notice one thing, and that is that we do not have the banner. Usually I have a banner behind me that says the name of this series. Well, this time around, you'll see that we have the Easter banner behind me, and that is because really this Ready, Set, Grow, I am intentionally doing this series, taking the four Sundays just before Easter to teach this series, because it really has a lot to do with Easter Sunday. It has a lot to do with us growing, not only Easter Sunday, but certainly we want to be prepared for Easter Sunday. Now, when we talk about growing, I want to, in this series, talk about us growing individually. How many of you know healthy things grow? Amen. Healthy children grow. You know, healthy plants grow. We were at a shower yesterday. We had a baby shower for my niece, and they were giving away these little potted plants, and they said, do you want one? I said, no, it will die. Because you also got to take care of things if they're going to grow. And so we want to talk not just about the fact that healthy things grow, but what's your part so that you stay healthy and growing. And not only individually you need to be growing, but how about us growing as a church? And one of the reasons why we want to grow is because we are getting ready for Easter. And let me just say this about Easter Sunday. I mentioned this at the offering, but on Easter Sunday, churches are afforded an opportunity. And they're really afforded an opportunity by the culture. You see, our culture is quite different now from when I was growing up. Church does not hold the place of significance and priority in the lives of people when it did when I was growing up. When I was growing up, you didn't do things on Sunday. Ball games like Little League, I'm not talking about national sports things, but Little League teams and other, they didn't play on Sunday. In fact, many of them wouldn't even play on Wednesday night because you had Wednesday night church. Come on, any of you a little older, you remember those Sunday, Wednesdays? You know, our culture has changed. They do not put a priority on church attendance anymore, except two times, Easter and Christmas. Now, come on, how many of you know, if you have a business opportunity, if you're in business somewhere, and you have a business opportunity, and there's like Small Business Day, or like what is, you know, they call, they have, you know, the Cyber Week, and, you know, I always want to call it Black Friday, but it's Good Friday. Cyber Monday, you know, it is called Black Friday, right? But then it's got Good Friday is Easter. Yeah, see, I don't want to get them mixed up. Anyway. Come on, how many of you know that it'd be silly for a business if Black Friday was coming or Cyber Monday was coming? Oh, it's just another Sunday, just another day. Listen, as a church, we can't act like Easter is just another Sunday. Listen, we want every Sunday to be wonderful, but at the same time, we realize that as a church, we've got the greatest mission on earth. Listen, if someone gets the next electronic device, that may fulfill them for a moment, but what we have to offer them will fulfill them for a lifetime and then for eternity. So we want to be ready for Easter. And listen, and when I say get ready for Easter, One of the most important things is not just what we do. Yeah, we need to do some things. We have an amazing frontline team here, we call them. That's our volunteer ministry. They're going to be here early. They're going to come early. They're going to stay late. They're going to prepare the week before. I mean, we're going to have children, things for the children. We're going to have children's workers. We're going to have preschool workers. We're going to have people out there in hospitality. We're going to have people in the parking lot. We're going to have people in media. I mean, people are going to be serving that day. Amen. But it's not just what we do. Amen. It's who we are. Yes. That's going to affect people. Yeah. It's why we're serving. It's why they're showing up early. Amen. It's why they're staying late. It's why they're praying on their own. It's why we're having a prayer service. It's because we believe Jesus changes lives. And we still believe that Jesus, come on, is the answer for the world today. And the choir is going to break out right behind me. Come on, don't you love that? And then he's coming, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Come on, do we believe that or not? And if we believe that, then we have a responsibility to grow as individuals so that God can shine through us, so that Christ can shine through us, and so that we can grow so that we can reach more people for Jesus. We are on a mission. Somebody was telling me that one of their relatives, I think it's a nephew, is a Black Hawk pilot. And he was 3 months before his assignment being over, and they extended it a year. You know why? Because they had some missions. Amen. For our nation. Amen. That were important for keeping us safe. Amen. Listen, you guys, we got a mission. Yes. We got a mission to help people to build their faith so they know Jesus. Come on, you know him. Yes. Don't you want somebody else to know him? Yes. And when they come to Faith Life Church, I said, you know, they're going to experience us, and that's true, but I want to take that a step further. We don't want them to just experience us. We want them to experience God. Yes. We don't want them just to find a church. We want them to find Jesus. Yes. And so, this next couple of weeks, I'm going to share with you some truths that are going to help you grow individually. Amen. I mean, come on, you're going to have an opportunity the next couple of weeks for your faith to get richer. I mean, for you to go deeper in your relationship with God. It's going to affect you individually these next couple of weeks. But that's not all. It's going to affect us as a church. So that when those people do come on Easter, we're ready to grow. We're ready for them. And they'll want to come back and they'll want to be a part of us. So ready, set, come on, grow. And so go with me, if you will, to John chapter 15, verse 5. And let's talk about growing God's way. John 15, this is Jesus talking here. And he says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. How many of you have done nothing? There's times I just have done nothing because I did it apart from him. But here's the good news. He tells us we can bear fruit. And if we're bearing fruit, we're growing. God's plan is for growth. And he planned for us to grow by putting us in a relationship with Jesus. And he likens Jesus to the vine. And he says, we're like the branch. And the branch can grow because it's attached to the vine. Everything Jesus. That's why I'm convinced as your pastor, you can grow in your faith. Your marriage can grow. You can grow financially. You can grow in your relationship with your children. It can become richer and better because you're attached to the vine and he nourishes you. He strengthens us. God's plan is for growth. Now, how do we know that we're healthy and growing? Eventually, there'll be fruit. not flakes. A lot of flaky Christians. And what we need is fruitful Christians. Love, joy, peace, patience, even while driving, Jane. That. Well, how many know? Sometimes you just got to talk to yourself. But eventually there'll be fruit. It takes time. But healthy things grow. Healthy things bear fruit. John 15:16. Jesus went on to say this, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." Now, what would be lasting fruit? Lasting fruit would be change in people's lives. Lasting fruit would be a soul that is won for Christ. How many of you know the only thing we're going to take to heaven with us are relationships, are other people. That's what we're going to take to heaven. And so on Easter Sunday, we want people to come because we want them to come to Jesus. And even those, now listen, even those who might not come to Jesus on Easter Sunday, we want them to come back to church. We want to do church so well that even that Sunday, maybe there's things going on in their life. Maybe their heart has been almost like enshrouded in such unbelief that it may take a few Sundays. But come on, we treated them so well. There was something here that they experienced that they just got to come back. That's the fruit. Now, he says he's chose us. Now, I got to hurry along with this message. But I don't even know. Well, let me just say this. I'm glad that he said, "I chose you." Because I was one of those kids in elementary school. Sometimes at recess, the teacher would say, "Oh, let's play a game of kickball." And, you know, then she would choose two captains. And she would usually choose two captains that were athletic. And then the rest of the class, you stood there and you wait to get picked. Oh, that was a miserable time for me. I was not athletic. I mean, I was one of those people that went to kick the ball. Oh, there's the ball. Kick the ball, Jane. And I would stand there, and then finally, Jane, because I was the only one left, you know, or at least I was one of the ones left, maybe not always the last one. But that was okay. If they ever needed an academic team, I could be the captain. Anyway, not always, but come on. How many of you know Jesus said, "I chose you"? So I always think about that. I didn't have to stand there. Right away, Jesus said, "I picked Jane." Yay, I got picked. Same way I felt about marriage for so many years. I just wasn't picked. And finally, Jeff picked me. Oh, I hope he doesn't feel like he got a leftover. But anyway, nah, he doesn't. He got the best. Now listen, says Jesus appointed us to bear fruit. What I want to get to you is God wants us to bear fruit. So he put us relationship with the vine. And then it says, Jesus said, "I've appointed you." And that word appointed, let me define it for you. It means to set someone in a place. It means purpose. It means to ordain. It means to make so. Also, the Lindell and Scott abridged Greek lexicon defines it as this: to put or plant it in his heart, to put in a certain state, to make so. You see, our heart was changed when we came to Jesus. That's why I know you can bear fruit. Everything Jesus. We can be fruitful. We can and should grow. Now, we need to be growing individually, and we need to be growing as a church. Let me just make a couple statements to you. You can be a part of a growing church and not be growing yourself. You can also be a growing individually and go to a church that's not growing. But you're growing, but your church is not growing. However, the church cannot grow if someone isn't growing. Amen. Come on. And the truth is, the more of us are growing, then the church will grow. Let me just say this about church. The church's ministry is to help people grow, to develop their faith in Jesus, to strengthen them, provide healing for them, not only bring them to Jesus. Yes, we want to introduce them and bring them to Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. That's the most important thing. But then we want to help people grow. In fact, I could just say this. We grow people at Faith Life Church. That's what we do. That's why we have the mission of building your faith so you know Jesus, live free, discover your purpose, and make a difference. That's why we have small groups out there. Why? Because we are called to help you grow. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4:15. Let's talk about God's greenhouse. I believe the church is God's greenhouse. Ephesians 4:15, this is Paul writing to the local church in Ephesus. And he says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, here's what this passage teaches us. This passage teaches us that the big purpose, one of the most important purposes of church, is to help people grow. And see, some people say, well, just me and Jesus. I don't need church. You haven't read your Bible. Because Jesus, who is head of the church, said that one of the ways that you can grow and become more like him is get into a church. And if you get into a church and you begin to offer your supply in that church and you get the supply from other members, in other words, we need what someone else has. We need their supply. I need your supply for me to grow. You need my supply for you to grow. And he said, in the end, if we all come together, then we'll be healthy and we'll be growing. You see, I believe that church is God's greenhouse. Now, we realize this. No one can make people grow, just like you can't make a plant grow. God makes things grow. But it's amazing. Farmers know how to plow the ground. They know to go get the seed. They know to plant it. They know to water it. But how many know God gives the increase? And what we do as a greenhouse is we supply you with the things to grow, but then God causes us to grow. And we know he wants us to grow. As a church, we are responsible to be a greenhouse. I'm going to read you two definitions for a greenhouse. One is more scientific and a little longer. And the other one I got off Climate Kids from NASA. It's kind of nice sometimes to just lower it down so we can get it. But let me read you the first definition of a greenhouse. It says a system of heating and circulating air that helps to create an artificial environment that can sustain, I'll get that out, sustain plants when the outdoor temperature is too cool or variable. Heat enters the greenhouse through its covering of glass or plastic and starts to warm the objects, soil, and plants inside. What a beautiful description of the local church. You can come in from the world where you never know the temperature out in the world. Sometimes it's cold-hearted. Sometimes it's hot pressure. You just don't think you can take another day. It drains you of your energy. But then you come to church with other believers. We get to worship together and the sun shines in. Come on. It's just the condition, the atmosphere that we needed away from the world to heal our hurts, to strengthen our weak knees. It's a place where we can rejoice so somebody else knows the one we're rejoicing about. come on. We can praise together. We can share victories. We can share prayer requests. A greenhouse, also a simple definition of a greenhouse. A greenhouse is a house made of glass. It has glass walls and a glass roof. A greenhouse stays warm inside even during winter. Sunlight shines in and warms the plants and airs inside. And why is all that happening? So the things inside can do what? Grow. Growing God's way. You need church to grow God's way. And we want to be a church that takes on the responsibility or takes the responsibility seriously with God's help to be a greenhouse, to create an atmosphere where you, when you come in here, you get what you need to grow in your marriage, in your own walk personally, to go out and to be a light. Come on, we should be growing. And as we're growing, as we're bearing fruit, and it's amazing how people want to be a part of something that's growing. Now, how do churches create this greenhouse effect? How do we as a church become this place? Well, let me just read you a statement by Pastor Chris Hodges. He pastors in one of the most really healthy, flourishing churches in America today. But here's what Pastor Chris Hodges says about that very event, and it has to do with culture. And he says, what do growing churches do differently? They have a life-giving culture. Now, let me read you the definition of culture, and you'll see the connection then between greenhouse and culture. Here's the definition, and this is the biological, the definition of culture when it comes to biology. It says, creating the right condition so things can grow. You see, when you go to a church, you experience the culture of that church, who that church is, what kind of a church it is. In fact, sometimes, you know, my husband's in business, and so often he's in sales, and so often he'll be talking to someone, and when they find out that his wife is a pastor, they'll go, oh, okay. And they'll say, well, what kind of church do you go to? And sometimes he goes, well, I go to those, one of those churches, lean to the left, lean to the right, stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. In other words, an active church. You know, if you come here, you're going to get some excited people. You know, we're going to move a little. You know, he was raised in Catholic, the Catholic church. So that's one of the reasons why he says a little bit more active than the church that I grew up in as far as being expressive. But we need to know who we are as a church. Come on. Listen, every home has a culture. Every workplace has a culture. Go into Starbucks, there's a culture. Disney has a culture. Every place you go, and it's because of who they are. And you see, life-giving churches have a, or healthy growing churches have a life-giving culture. We've created an atmosphere that are ripe for people to grow. Listen, can I tell you, a church could offer all the right programs, have a beautiful building and have plenty of money, but if the culture is not healthy, if it's not toxic, nothing's going to grow. Healthy things grow. There may be a lot of people coming, but nothing's growing. In fact, some churches are just like a cycling bin. Yeah, they can gather large groups, but the same people aren't there after 5 years, 3 months, or 10 days. It's a brand new batch. Come on, we want help. We want to be healthy. And now, let me go this. How do we then we create a growing, healthy culture, this life-giving culture? Well, we also learned this from Pastor Chris Hodges. Values create culture. What we value. The things we give our time and our attention to, our finances to, they create our values. Values create our culture. I could tell today what you value, what's important to you, by just seeing where you spend your time, where you spend your finances. Go look at your checkbook or your debit card or whatever, and I can tell what's important to you, your values. Now, let me just say this about culture. Culture's not just what you do. It's something you become. It's who you are. And so, listen, we want to grow as individuals. We want to grow as a church. Listen, it's not our goal. It's not some goal we set. It's not some system we have. It's not some program we have, but it's who we are. Listen, at Faith Life Church, we need to know this is us. Well, who are we? Can you give me that? I didn't bring that list of values there. This morning when you came in, you should have had on your seat a little sheet that says Faith Life Church, and then it says our values. Over the last couple of years, we've been very intentional as a staff to create a better culture here at Faith Life Church, a healthier, more life-giving culture. And one of the things that we've done is we've created values. Now, some of these were values that we already had in place that we've been doing for a long time. Others were values that we said, you know what? We want to become that. So we're going to make it our value. And then what are we going to do? We're going to invest time and resources in those things because this is who we want to be. We want to say, this is us. We want to be a growing church. I want you to grow individually, and I want us to grow as a church and reach our community to help people. Now, over the next couple of weeks in this series, Ready, Set, Grow, I'm going to teach on these values. There's no way in 4 weeks, and today was just like an opener. I'm going to get to one today. There's no way I'm going to be able to teach on all these values in the next couple of weeks. But I'm going to take some that I think are key, and I'm going to teach on those values. And I know as I teach on those values, you will grow, you will be blessed, and we will grow as a church, and we will be ready for Easter. Amen? We will be ready because we will be more, we'll know ourselves better. And when we know ourselves better, then we can reach other people better. See, then you can be the church. Because you can say, oh, no, I know what Pastor Jane would say. She'd say, show up, prayed up. You know what our values are. You know why we make decisions. These values are what drive every decision we make here at Faith Life Church. You can make decisions for me. Just go by these values. See, that's the way the church was intended to operate, that every one of us would be a part of doing it. That there's no, you know, you do know there is a star in the church, and it's not me. And it's not you. It's Jesus. And we're all on the same team. I'm doing my part, you do your part, and we will all flourish and grow. But what I want you to do, you take these values home, look over them, pray for us so that we would do these values. But here's the value, and I really think it's hard to say that all of these are from the Word of God, so it's hard to say that one value is more important than the other. But certainly we could say that this value I want to go over this morning and just kind of speak to it this morning as I finish up, but it's kind of the foundation of every other value. And here's the value. And in fact, on here, we don't even have them numbered. There's 9 of them, but it's almost close to the end, just 4 up from the end. And here's the value. No other book like it. Amen. And here's the value. The value is that there is no other book like the Bible. We value the Bible more than any other book. We value it above what society is saying. We value it above the latest trends. Let me take you to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, starting with verse 15. It says, you have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Wow. Here at Faith Life Church, the Bible is the standard for everything we do. I remember when we adopted our boys, Jeff, we had a family meeting not too long after both of them were in our home, and he took the Bible and he just opened it and he said, listen, I know our boys were older when we adopted them. He said, so I know you may have come from different places. You've been in many different homes and they may have used different systems, values, but here's the book that we use in our home. The Bible is the book that we live by. Here at Faith Life Church, the Bible is the book that we live by. In fact, here's what we believe about the Bible. We believe the Bible is God speaking to us. That's why we take it so seriously. We believe too. Now, this is the wonderful part. We believe God's word has the power to change people's lives forever. We believe that when people hear the word of God taught, they will be changed. They will be freed. They will be saved. They will be healed. They will be delivered. God's word has the power to change people's life. No other book like it. Come on. It's the book of all books. People ask, what kind of church do you go to? Well, we go to a church that values God's word. This is us. 1 Peter 2:2 says this, like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk so that you will grow into the full knowledge or experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have tasted of the Lord's kindness, or now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. What is he talking about? The spiritual milk? Another translation said it's the word of God. And we need to cry out. Why? We need to cry out for the word of God. In other words, desire it. When we desire something, that creates a value, and we desire it because God's word is how we grow. It's the seed in our life that causes growth. It's the power that helps us grow in our marriage, grow financially, grow in our purpose in life. We can grow through the word of God. God's word is the source of our growth. And it makes sense because Jesus and the word are one. And we started off in John 15, Jesus is the vine. Now, how about Ephesians 2:2? And I want to read out of the Message Bible, and I'm going to wrap this up. But I've got something really important to say as I wrap this up. So listen up here just for a couple more minutes. In fact, I'm going to get a drink of water so I'm really ready to end strong. I got to hit a home run with Jesus' help. Come on. I mean, I got somebody good on my side. Ephesians 2:2, and this is out of the Message Bible. Now, the Message Bible, one of my pastor friends calls it the Bible with an attitude. It's not a direct translation. It is a paraphrase. But Ephesians 2:2 says this. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You fill your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. You see, we believe that the Bible is the book of life. And here at Faith Life Church, we don't go with just what is socially acceptable. We don't go with just the latest trend in fashion or anything else. Now, I'm quite fashionable, as you can see. But no. Now, come on, how many of you know? If fashion is immodest, I'm not going with fashion. I'm going with God. If society tells me that it's okay to have sex outside of marriage, I'm going with God. And people say, that's old-fashioned. No, that is smart. It is healthy, and your spouse will thank you. Now, is there forgiveness? Yes, that's why we have church. But we can move forward. But we got to value God's word. We got to value it more than we value anything else. Now, here's why it's so important to have values. We saw that values creates that condition, that life-giving church, that culture. And then we got to value the right thing. So we value the word of God. You know why? Because here's what the word of God helps us to become as a church. When we have the right culture, because we have the right values, that culture, the culture of our church, will determine whether we are, and I want you to look at this, whether we are a courthouse, which would be a place of condemnation, a clubhouse, simply a social gathering, or whether we are truly a greenhouse, which is a place where people grow. Listen, I want to grow God's way. I want to value his words. I want us to value the things he values. And when people come here to this church on Easter Sunday or any other Sunday, they will experience this greenhouse effect. The presence of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the people of God. And they will say, wow, that's a place I can belong to. That's a place I could be a part of. And that's a place I can grow. Amen? Amen. Growing God's way. Are you ready to grow? Yes. Did you get something out of that this morning? I pray that you did. Let's bow our heads as we close out this service today. Lord, it's just so grateful